Hello, world. It's the Ladies of Nerditude again. My name is Jill.
And I'm Francine.
And this week we have our friend Annie with us.
Hi, everyone. I sound like this.
That's Annie's voice.
Because we're going to talk about GLOW, and Annie is all about wrestling. So
it's true.
Yes. Right?
Resident wrestling person.
Yes.
You wrestling are our expert person. Because I don't really know very much.
Well, I'm not an expert in much, so I'm really glad a wrestling related thing happened and I can come be an expert about something.
Yes, that's true.
Absolutely.
So if you don't mind me picking your brain, how did you tell us the story of how you got into wrestling?
When I was small, my dad knew someone at the Olympic Theater. And so, and in Los Angeles, and they used to have a lot of wrestling there. And since we got to go for free, I just like saw a lot of wrestling shows there really early on. They weren't like famous guys, but just like watching it happen in front of me was so amazing. So I got a lot of tapes and stuff like that. I didn't really watch like WWF as a kid, like Stone Cold or The Rock era. I was mostly getting tapes of older stuff like Andre the Giant, kind of earlier stuff. Early Hulk Hogan, so still Hulk Hogan, but he was famous for, like, forever. But I guess I just kind of watched it on my own. My dad didn't even really like wrestling. We just went because we grew up kind of poor, and it was free. So that's how I got into wrestling. Also, I got into comedy, and I learned about Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler and their feud. And just watching wrestling and comedy happen together was such a switch to be flipped for me. It made me appreciate wrestling in such a different way, and I got right back into it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Jill, have you ever been into it or like watched it, or what's your experience?
No. So because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, my high school friends that were all guys, they would get together and they watched WWF. So I was like vaguely familiar with like Gravedigger and Stone Cold Steve Austin and
Gravedigger's a truck.
No, it wasn't.
You mean
the,
Undertaker?
The Undertaker. See, that's how good I am. That's how much I was paying attention. See, expert.
I'm the expert.
Why did Undertaker? Okay, see, so I was again
expert too.
Vaguely familiar with it. So
it illustrates it perfectly.
Yeah, there was some guy who was about death. That's all I know. And
he's very tall, wore black.
Yeah, and he had like face paint, right? Yeah. He looked kind of like the Crow. I don't know.
That was Sting, the Crow one.
Jeez, see, I don't even fucking know.
Oh
my god. Yeah. See, so again, vaguely familiar with it. It just wasn't like, I don't know, my thing. And I do remember my dad did mention one time GLOW, because I remember him talking about Americana.
Oh, okay. So he watched it?
I think he did a little bit in the 80s. But he, I think that was what he was saying. It was like, it was on kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when WWF became a thing, he was like, oh, it's like GLOW.
Ah.
But he's like, oh, you remember the GLOW thing? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I wasn't born yet, so no. So I'm like vaguely, super vaguely, obviously.
Yeah.
You, Francine?
My dad really liked like Jake the Snake and like that whole era. So I remember it from a really my early childhood.
Oh, you got the best of it then, girl.
Yeah, like sitting on the floor with him in our living room and like watching him pull the big snake out of the garbage bag.
Yeah.
Like I have that memory very clear.
That's what wrestling is. Like I have goosebumps, Francine. Like wrestling is like sitting on the floor watching wrestling with your dad and just remembering someone pull a snake out of the bag.
It's a weird memory, and it's like so clear. Like I remember what the carpet looked like and everything.
Oh,
so in that sense it's nostalgic for me, but in a really like general way.
Yeah,
my brother liked it when we were growing up, so that was like around the Stone Cold Steve Austin like who were those like New World Order type era. So like I kind of like, so it was sort of in the background of life. And then I knew a couple of kids from school, a couple of guys who had like a backyard wrestling kind of thing.
Oh, that shit gets crazy. Like,
yeah.
They're like backflipping onto thumbtacks and shit.
Yeah, they got hurt a lot.
Oh,
so,
honestly, you could die that way.
Yeah.
Or get famous.
So like they kind of, because they would watch
or.
All the time. So like from that perspective, I kind of knew like what it was about from a sort of very amateur perspective. But that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of my knowledge. I had never heard of GLOW until I watched the show.
Beautiful.
So it was totally new for me. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I do remember, though, when WWF was a big thing, everybody arguing about whether or not it was fake.
Yes.
I do remember.
People argued it's fake.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, I was in high school and it was just boys like yelling at each other. Yeah. Like, it's fake. No, it's not. You're stupid. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I mean, they're really beating the shit out of each other. But like the idea that someone stole someone's girlfriend is fake as hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so I think like from overhearing those conversations, I was kind of like, okay.
Like, be a part of this argument in the sex circle.
Yeah. Yes. That was definitely what was happening.
Oh, for sure.
And I feel like I put it in the category of soap opera plus more stuntmen. Yeah.
Girl, then you get it. Yes.
Okay.
So from that perspective, like that's how I intellectually understand it. I'm like, absolutely. They are athletes. They have to be really well trained. Mm-hmm. They're like dancers. They have to trust each other.
It's choreography.
Or like gymnasts, like who work together. So they really have to like trust each other and understand each other's style and practice. Mm-hmm. They can really get hurt.
You understand more about wrestling than most wrestling fans. Yeah. You're good.
I'm so excited that I actually understand. But, like, from that perspective, I understand it. But I don't necessarily understand it from a fan perspective.
Like rules and who's who and stuff?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Understanding it in the other way is so much more important. Just understanding, generally, like, how people like it and what people are getting out of it instead of it just being, like, other or alien or, like the way I feel about NASCAR.
They're going in a circle.
Alien. Like, I just don't get that. Someone could talk me into it, probably, but I don't get it.
Turning left is very important from what I understand.
When they call them athletes, I'm like, really? Are they, though?
Well, they have to have good reflexes.
I just totaled a car, so I, like, see how you could total a car.
I could see that.
So let's talk a little bit about glow. From your perspective, Annie, knowing what you know and kind of being in the world, do you remember watching the actual glow, like when it was on or ever?
No, that was a little too early for me. I mean, I was two when it was canceled. So even if my dad watched it, my mom probably just made fun of him and thought it was a gross thing he watched. But I never knew. But no, I never heard about glow until... in 2012, they made that documentary, and the way you guys know I'm a wrestling person, like all my friends know I'm a wrestling person. So whenever anything happens, like, Annie, have you heard about this? So I saw that right when it came out, and like, that's how I heard about Glow. And then slowly hearing about the Jenji Cohen project and like people who are attached, like slowly kind of hearing about it one at a time. I'm getting excited about it the way that people do for like Christopher Nolan movies. So I had never heard of Glow, but very closely watched like this specific project.
Cool. What did you think about the end result? Like, give us your overall impression.
Okay. Well, you guys watched Glow. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a really good product. I mean, I would have liked to see more of the show, but I think what's beautiful about this first season is that they set up to that first episode so well. Whereas when I heard about the project, I kind of was excited to see like skits and like all of the girls' gimmicks, kind of like rapid fire and super campy, and them living in Vegas at the Riviera and like just wild shit. And there was some of that, and that was definitely like kind of what the best parts of Glow were for me. I loved it. Episode 5 was a work of art, like unbeatable. When Debbie goes to that indie show, like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. when she sees Mr. Monopoly and the brainwashed girlfriend and realizes it's a soap opera and she can get into it and cheers, and like it's just so beautiful to watch her turn around on wrestling. And to think that like this project as a whole could do that to a large group of women and non-women. It's like amazing to me that there's some women out there that just thinking, oh, wrestling isn't for me, and then after watching Glow thinks, fucking maybe.
Yeah.
So I think Glow is just good for everyone. It was not a perfect piece of art, but I mean, I loved it. I had fun every episode.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you guys like it?
I was skeptical going into it. I was like, all right, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess because of remembering everybody arguing about, oh, it's fake. No, it's not. All that stuff. I never really thought about the fact that they really could get hurt or the fact that they're, you know, you have to know how to throw somebody and make it look like it hurt when they landed, but they didn't. And I liked the characters a lot and their wrestling personas. I was particularly interested on how they picked their alter ego.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was fun.
Her gimmick was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was like a nice arc to watch.
So I liked that part of it. And then I mean, you wouldn't guess looking at me, but yeah. I fucking love their hair and the makeup and all that stuff.
Yes. It was so 80s. I was
like, God, could I do that for Halloween? Yeah. I'm just going to like.
Vulcan, Sheila, was it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Her hair and makeup every time were like so good for her gimmick.
Yeah. I just, I was way more taken in by it than I thought. Yeah. But I liked that it was not just about the wrestling. It was like how they all got along and like the things that go along with it. Yeah. So I thought it was fantastic.
People wrestling.
wrestling.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I was very skeptical at first because I was like, oh man, it's a show about wrestling and it's women's wrestling. And I think I had this idea in my head about what women's wrestling would look like.
It's going to be
the
pervy.
WWF yeah. showed you. It's just like right. bitch fights and pillow fights.
Exactly.
And bikinis.
Exactly.
And like
yeah. So silicone. I was like, oh, man, how am I going to feel about, like, watching that portion of the WWF slash
like,
WWE?
Total Divas, like a yeah. kind of, like, reality show.
And, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was a little bit skittish going in, but then I was hooked. I was, like, sold when they presented them as, like, the offbeat girls that couldn't get another job because they were too different from those people.
Yeah.
And that they had to be athletes. At that point, I was like, okay, now I'm invested. Like, now I'm feeling the story because there's more to it than just what the little slice of, like, women's wrestling, if you could even call it that, that I had seen. Mm-hmm. It was way different than that. They, like, blew it wide open for me, and I thought that was really cool.
Totally.
And I also loved the interplay between them and their characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, them and their personas. Like, you mentioned Sheila. That at the beginning of that episode where she puts on all of the makeup and does her hair to turn herself into the person that everybody else sees.
Yeah.
But then she's also got like just a blown out version of herself for her character, for her persona.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's
that was like very progressive to tackle someone that is like spiritually identifies as a wolf. It's like, what a kind of sensitive portrayal of something that someone might see as a little frivolous, especially within a show that like already is kind of not taking itself seriously and about something frivolous. Like they treated it with a lot of respect.
Yeah.
So way to represent Wolfman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to have Ruth take that journey that the viewer was probably taking at the same time.
Yeah.
I just thought the narrative arc of that was lovely.
Yeah.
Like that was so impressive to me. I feel like Jenji Kohan does such wonderful things with complex, deep female characters and their relationships to each other. I loved it. It reminded me of Orange is the New Black at its best.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really great to watch. I'm excited for season two, and I didn't think I would say that.
Yeah.
I'm stoked because I need more of the show. I need more rapping, man. Like, I need more glow for sure.
Yes.
I'm excited to see how they go from, like, the first episode into when it was at the height of its popularity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's on an upswing.
That'll be wild.
In terms of, like, the next season and the season after, they've got a lot of story to tell.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Probably more wrestlers to introduce, too.
Yeah,
a lot more characters. I also didn't realize from that documentary that there was, like, 35 of them. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There were a lot.
So all three of us watched the documentary. Mm-hmm. What's it called, Annie? Is it just called Glow?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
The documentary is called.
If you search it on Netflix under Glow, you'll find the show and the documentary because they both came up for me as soon as I searched.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy to find like one from the other. And I thought, well, what did you think about the documentary? Because you saw the documentary first.
Mm-hmm.
So you already knew the real characters and then you saw the show.
Well, even, you know, the documentary isn't like gospel truth. You're kind of just hearing it from the girls firsthand and they've got no stakes in it. I've heard that the documentary is like, there are some accounts that are a bit false.
Okay.
But what, I mean, they really did get that much fan mail. They really were that big. I thought it was covered really well. I liked that no one played the girls themselves, that they would sometimes like play a girl's gimmick, but they didn't have, you know, the girl that played Machu Picchu playing Mount Fuji. Like she wasn't playing her as a woman, like with her story. It was just like, let's give her this gimmick and like generally this personality, but it's not, we're not going to take anything from her life or like her arc. They kind of made new characters, but would give them the gimmicks from the girls in Glow.
Yeah. I watched the show first and then I watched the documentary. So I had like the flipped experience.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it was interesting to see how they took pieces of different people and put them together to make the characters.
Yeah.
Like Machu Picchu was the daughter of the the daughter of the professional wrestler with the brothers who were professional wrestlers. But that wasn't who the real Mount Fuji was. That was a different girl that had been, like, a family of, like, professional athletes and stuff.
Well, maybe that's how they'll keep it from being 35 different wrestlers, is they'll just kind of cobble together the best, most interesting pieces of all the girls.
Yeah.
Make their own characters.
That'll be kind of cool. But I did like the story. I felt like the story of the show and the story of the documentary were somewhat different because they had different focuses. And that was actually kind of refreshing because obviously you have a drama. Like the show is a drama. Yeah. They have to add in a lot of – they added in a lot of politics. But at the same time, it was okay because GLOW was very political when it was really happening.
Oh, yeah.
It was very socially aware. It was very politically aware. And they – made a joke about it, like they made fun of it, but well, that was the theater.
They had girls come out and introduce Matilda the Hun, like, doing a Nazi salute, like, walking out. Yeah. It was just like, oh my god, this is on its Saturday mornings. Wow. Their demographic is the Saturday morning, like, kids group. Mm-hmm. So it's so wild to see that. And they didn't do that KKK gimmick from the show, but they did one where they had, like, bags over their heads that was, like, very KKK-esque. It was like, that shit made TV.
Yeesh. Like, public TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so wild.
To think about that is really... I don't know. It feels like it's in a time capsule, but at the same time, I could see that. I mean, I don't watch professional wrestling or amateur wrestling now, but I feel like they probably still do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just not the same way.
Not as extreme.
Yeah. I'll say, like, with stuff that's going to be on TV, they're really careful when something's racially charged. They had a gimmick where they were called, like, the True Americans a few years ago, and they would have signs that say, like, get out of our country and stuff like that when they played against Mexican wrestlers. But, it's not that that's wrong. Like, they're doing that on purpose so that it's obvious who you root for, and it's not those guys. Mm. So, like, someone has to go out there and play the heel, and they were not that way. They were, like, super patriotic in, like, the good way, actually. So, it, like, is just an act. And they're just doing that so you know who to root against.
Mm-hmm. Jill, you're making a face.
Yeah, no, I just remember when they, the episode of GLOW where they had him dress up as the KKK and all. I was just like cringing and hiding under my blanket. I was like, oh no, they're doing it. Yeah. Oh, they're doing it.
The KKK versus the welfare queen, and you're just like, oh my god, like how?
Yeah,
real.
Ooh, yeah,
that was rough for me, and I want to know like how. I wanted more of, like, how she felt playing that kind of character.
She looked like she felt fine
about it. Yeah, like, I want to know more of her story. Like, how do you get into that character?
She doesn't take herself too seriously. She's like, I'm on a women's wrestling show. I'll just do whatever they want me to at this point. Like, it's not a reflection of me. The woman that played Welfare Queen is ex-WWE Karma. She was a real wrestler.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So the actress who played her on the show.
Yeah, I think her name's Kong. Now, but she used to be Karma in WWE.
So wow.
That's why she killed her wrestling scenes. It was so good. All those girls did, like, I was reading about it. All those girls did, like, 5 weeks of wrestling training and, like, a lot of wrestling training.
Wow.
I listened to a podcast with the writers and the showrunners on WTF, so on Mark Maron's podcast. And they said, like, they were all training, and Chavo Guerrero is there training the girls and watches... kind of watching them go back and forth and realize, like, does anyone here know how a wrestling match is supposed to end? Nobody raised their hand. It's like, you pin them. You pin them and you count three. No one knew. But, like, the writers, nobody knew. So it's a show that, like, it's kind of hard for me to talk about from a wrestling fan perspective, but the wrestling was just god-awful.
Was it really?
Yeah, like, when Debbie did a moonsault, it was cut, like, 5 times. It's like, oh, so, like, the middle three are a stunt woman. Like, it was just... you shouldn't have to cut away from one move 5 times. So it's hard to watch as a wrestling fan, but, like, not really, because I'm not watching it for the wrestling.
Right.
I watch 9 hours a week of, like, the most athletic men in the world throwing each other around. So I just watch GLOW, like, for the relationships.
So it's more for the story than for the spectacle.
Yeah, for sure.
Of
but
the
none
athleticism.
None of those people do shit about wrestling. which is totally fine, because... for me, it's, like, more authentic. I feel like with real GLOW, only probably 3 or 4 of them knew shit about wrestling. So it's like, just adds to the authenticity for me.
That's true. Their art's reflecting their life, reflecting the art, reflecting
beautiful.
Their life.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really good. It's okay that they don't know anything about wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the showrunners were like, we actually, like, kind of disliked wrestling and were really nervous about this. I'm just like, oh, did anyone who liked wrestling, like, work on this? No. But that's fine. It's, I have a lot of other stuff for that.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll gain more people who are more into that. Like, you know, if at the next open call for, you know, casting for season two.
Yeah. Maybe or they'll gain. Or someone who knows how a match ends.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll gain more people and it'll that part of it will grow. Like, part of it will get better. I don't know. I didn't even really think about that. Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up because I was just like, okay, yeah, they look like they don't know what they're doing. That's how they're supposed to look because they don't know what they're doing.
And it's more about the story they're telling, like kind of what wrestling is. And for me, the show portrayed that really beautifully because in the very first episode, they said something like, you know, you've got to keep each other safe while it looks like you're hurting each other. And that's just like what wrestling is as a whole. Yeah. No matter how much shit you're talking to a person, spitting in their face and, you know, like spitting beer in their face and punching them out in the ring, like, you go back there and you're like, hey, bud, are you all right? Like, how's your wife? Like, you're keeping each other safe out there so that you don't have long-term damage or break your neck or anything. And you have to make it look good. It's just such a delicate, dramatic balance in real wrestling to have to do that. And I think the show showed that really well. They're all in an environment where they're all super vulnerable and able to get hurt, but they all protected each other and made it look good. It was really beautiful.
That's cool. Who would you say is your favorite? I'm going to ask you two questions.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character from GLOW? Like the one that you just were like, oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
And then who is your favorite from the actual GLOW show?
Ooh.
Are they the same? Are they different?
Well, I only know actual GLOW from the documentary. Mm-hmm. So some of the girls were portrayed in a rather favorable light because they were available for interviews. So
sure.
Like, ooh, she's the star. But, I mean, I'll answer actual GLOW first. It'd be Dementia. She was like a female Jason Voorhees that would come out like an actual chainsaw. Uh-huh. So Dementia, for sure. And then in the show...
I know I threw you for a loop. I asked a hard question.
You know, it might be Justine. There's something about her punk rock vulnerability that appeals to me. I want to see more of Justine. We never got to see a gimmick from her, really. We did briefly get to see her dressed a little more punk than usual, which I guess was her gimmick. But it's like, we never got to see her wrestle or her gimmick, and I'm ready. I'm ready for a Justine episode.
That's fair. Season two, Jenji Kohan, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Annie wants it. If you haven't written it already, that's what you want to see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's fair. Jill, what about you? What did you think? Your opinions?
So, I only know, like you said, I only know the actual GLOW ladies from the documentary, and I'm trying to find the name, but it was the two heavy metal chicks. I want to say they were Spike and Chainsaw, were their names. Yeah. I thought they were pretty cool.
Like them?
That makeup was so killer with, like, the spider web eye makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were cool.
I really liked them, and they had, like, torches and chainsaws, and, like, they were just,
they
like...
They lit things on fire, like, that was their job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Legion of Doom, but, like, a beauty pageant.
Yeah. I thought they were pretty badass, and I was like, I want to see more of them in season two. Like, because they were also the old lady wrestlers.
Yeah.
So they had a transition... Just a slight one.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
I like
that. That happens to watch a character flip in the writer's room. Like, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. And then from the Netflix series, I liked Zoya the Destroyer.
Did you like her?
So.
Oh, once she caught her gimmick, Ruth, her character went leaps and bounds.
Yeah. She took off. She was totally awesome.
She was insufferable at the beginning. But because they wrote her so flawed, kind of on purpose, which is nice because it keeps that heel babyface dynamic. You know, you write someone that's so flawed that you end up rooting against them. And it surprised me because Debbie was such a blonde babyface, but in wrestling, like, that is the type of person I just hate. Like, John Cena. Like, I can't handle, like, a blonde, just all-American person you're supposed to like. But then the way they wrote Debbie was, like, she's the babyface and you rooted for her. Mm. And the way they wrote Ruth, like, she really went heel with all the adultery.
Yeah. It was like she was that in real life, but it... helped her embrace her character as the heel and vice versa. So it was like her art and her real life lined up in a way that empowered her, which was really cool to see in the story.
Yeah.
I liked that.
What about you?
My favorite in the documentary, because again, I'm on the same boat as everybody else.
Yeah.
Don't know anything else about them. I really, really liked the Mount Fuji lady. I thought that her story was so, like, touching And the way that everybody had so much respect for her, mm-hmm. like in the ring, during the filming, and outside, like when they had the reunion and everything, she, her story really touched me. I don't know that she was my favorite, like, character in the, like, show of the show, but in the documentary, I really liked her story and the way that they sort of built up to it. So I, she touched, it, it was touching to me in a different way than all the other ladies. So I really liked that. And on the show, I really liked Zoya. Ruth was like my favorite.
She was great. It, even when it was the, I loved when it was the Yakov Smirnov gimmick and she would just insult me at the Russia.
Yes.
I just thought she was so funny. And I loved how she found her like creative spark playing like the villain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the way that the character, they were sort of holding back on her character, like, oh yeah, we'll figure something out for you, whatever. And then she sort of rose to like arch villainy.
I
just loved that. It was so awesome.
And like, her hair was always so killer. Man, that finale. Oh,
oh my God.
Her hair was the stuff.
I know.
I loved her outfit too. Oh, yeah. And then seeing the real, I don't remember what her name was in the real glow. What was her?
Oh, yeah, the Russian one. Not, I remember.
The Russian one.
Like Petrikov or something.
Yeah. Her outfit with the shoulder strap and the one piece. I was
and
just like.
The hammer and sickle, like, emblem on her.
Girl, you killed. Like, I loved her costume and her hair.
Yeah.
The hair was different, but I still loved it.
Oh, yeah.
So I just, that
was. Such a, like, Indiana Jones kind of, like, Russian woman.
Yeah. Very blonde, very slick.
Yes, yes. But I feel like if you're playing to the lowest common denominator of the U.S., you know, like your blue collar, male, worker, like that's what they're going to respond to. Mm-hmm. So you're playing to your crowd at that point in such an intense way.
Yeah.
That was almost shocking to me to have that realization that's why they were doing it that way. And I was like, oh, it's like it clicked. Mm-hmm. That makes a little bit more sense now why it's so ridiculous when you watch it on TV because it has to be. It has to push it to that place to really get everyone to invest.
Oh, totally.
And that made a little bit more. I feel like I learned a little bit more.
Well, I didn't realize that it was like an ongoing story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a soap opera.
I just thought it was the thing where they were like, oh, here, this guy versus this guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know
that's
there was
boxing.
Like a... Yeah, right? So I didn't know that. So I thought that that was interesting that, like, you can't
there's
just...
Some little videos where they hear the other guy.
I was like, oh, these people are just talking shit for, like, no reason. Okay, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, they're talking shit for, okay, I get it now.
It leads up to the fight.
I see.
They gotta talk shit so that then one of them could, like, hit the other one with, I don't know, a chair or, like, a microphone or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whatever's around, I guess.
I love wrestling. It's so good. Honestly, I wish everyone could have an Episode 5 moment in a Legion Hall, reeking of beer, covered, just surrounded by men. I love amateur shows. It's such a good environment. And it's intimidating for a lady, probably, to think, oh, I'll just go to an indie show. But, I mean, it's nice because there's no line for the bathroom. And you're like a celebrity.
I am in.
People want to buy you drinks.
Yeah, there's like four girls there, so you're just a celebrity. People are like, whose girlfriend is that?
So that's actually a good question to ask you about that experience, because we've kind of talked about that being like a girl nerd and how sometimes you feel like you get quizzed out or people are like, what are you? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what are
What's
you doing here?
Yeah.
Do
that
you,
happens to me all the time.
You get that a lot?
Yeah. I get so much. Like, what's your favorite match? What's your favorite WrestleMania moment? Who's your favorite wrestler? And they're waiting for me to say, it's Lita or it's Chyna or... You know, it's when Alundra blazed through the belt in the trash or some kind of, like, woman moment, I guess. And it's like, if it's a female moment, then my cred is destroyed. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's like if you ask, when women say they like basketball, no one expects that it's women's basketball. They just go, oh, you like basketball. But for whatever reason with wrestling, when I say I like wrestling, people think, oh, women's wrestling? It's like, no, why would you equate that? No.
The
when
regular
girls say,
kind.
Like football, they don't mean they like that cheerleader football that came out 10 years ago.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
About
I do. Yes.
That was made by the same guy that runs WWE. XFL.
Really? I'm not sure.
Is that the one where they're in their lingerie?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Lingerie. Mm-hmm. I know XFL for sure was Vince McMahon, but I think I think, lingerie football team.
Damn. The yeah. guy, he's got a message yeah. to bring to the masses. Yep. Not sure what it is, but
I only want one part of that.
Wow. So what, like, tell us your worst story and then tell us your best story of your experience of, like, amateur
wrestling. Going to amateur wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I'll say it's, like, only really been a good experience. An amateur wrestling show, the ones I go to, the tickets sell out in, like, 2 minutes.
Wow. Because
it's always, like, the next generation of most amazing guys. I go to BWG, for anyone wondering. It's incredible. It's in Reseda, California. It's, like, 6 shows a year. I drive 450 miles to get there.
You're committed. You have a commitment.
So, I mean, it's like, you know that everyone in that room is just as dedicated to this thing that you are. So there's no gatekeeping. There's no, what's your favorite match? There's no, oh, are you wearing the right guy's shirt? It's just like, whoever you are, we're glad that you're here. And it's so close to the ring that, like, when the guys dive through the ropes, you get your ass out of the way or else you're going to get kicked in the face.
Oh, like,
it's
such a small room. Do you sign a waiver or something?
No. Your waiver is your ticket, probably. There's something on the website that's like, if you die, you're not our fault.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, take my money.
If you catch on fire, you should have walked faster.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, an indie show, especially when the tickets are that hard to get, it's super welcoming and, like, a really good environment, regardless of the gender proportion, I'll say. It's, like, not even noticeable there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just drinking beer and having a good time. At a WWE show, where they're practically giving the tickets away, I feel very much treated like someone's girlfriend, especially since I do go with my boyfriend. He likes wrestling, too, and it's very much a culture of, like, oh, you're just here with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm here, too, watching 3 hours of wrestling. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whenever. A lot of people ask me if I got into wrestling because of my boyfriend. No, I didn't. It's the only thing we had in common when we first met.
It's the thing that brought you together.
It did. He had, like, a wrestling memorabilia thing in his car, and I called him out on it, and he got, like, embarrassed. He was mortified. I was like, oh, is that a Daniel Bryan towel? And he was just like, why do you ask? It's a friend's.
I'm just holding it for someone else.
Liking wrestling is just, like, seen as a little nerdy. In, like, not a good way. Not the cool kind of, like, Guardians of the Galaxy nerdy that everyone can relate to. Mm-hmm. Like, nerdy in a way that people don't want to associate with that, I feel.
Like, nerdy in a way that, like, kind of thing. Yeah, like how being a nerd was 20 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
Is how that, so it's the new, like, edge of nerddom where people are like,
I don't know, you know, I think it's really accessible. I feel like it's really accessible. You can just pop right in. It is kind of a mindless thing to watch. But what do you watch that's mindful? I mean, are you just sitting around watching Adam Watts lectures?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, you don't live life that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
It's an entertainment, just like watching, like, Game of Thrones would be an entertainment or something like that. Yeah, I mean,
these guys are doing intense, like, technical maneuvers and crazy mat work that is, like, Olympic level at this point. In the 90s, it was just hot guys throwing each other around, but now it's like, you have to be the cream of the crop and kind of amazing at what you do. So it's good. I feel like my best experience is probably every indie show I've ever been to. It's such a good experience. And then my worst would probably be WrestleMania.
Really?
It's my worst experience ever. It's crying babies. It's kids yelling for John Cena. Just wrestling is like a chant-based culture. That's like, it's like a democracy that way. One guy, you yell one guy's name and the other person yells the other guy's name. You know, Cena. And there's just like, that's how you know what the room's temperature is. But then you've got kids just screaming their guys' names forever. And it's so obnoxious. And there's, I don't want to sound like a gatekeeper of wrestling culture. Like, kids, please come and scream your guys' names, and I understand that that's what you're there for, but, like, I'm just kind of an introvert. I like a quiet environment and a respectful environment, you know? And I can't handle, like, the older drunk guys at WrestleMania that'll, like, yell, like, really disrespectful things. During the women's match, people were yelling their boyfriend's names. So AJ Lee was wrestling, and people were yelling CM Punk. And Brie Bella was out there, and people were yelling Daniel Bryan. I was just, like, crying. Like, these women are out there giving their all, being amazing wrestlers. It's not the ex-car models that we had in the 90s. Like,
yeah.
These girls are wrestlers now, but it's just sad, you know? It's like, as a woman, I feel like they're still not very respected. And then the indie shows, there's no women. No women in it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'd have
not
to go.
Not in the ones I go to. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go to Shimmer. That's an all-women production.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there are so many wrestling promotions out there. It's ridiculous.
But... Glow, Shimmer. I see what they did there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's clever.
I mean, NJPW is another big one. That's like Japanese WWE. No women. No women wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah. WWE has a good amount of women. Pretty good. The week after Glow came out, WWE has 3 shows. They have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, which is their independent show. And a women's match main evented all 3 that week.
Oh, wow.
So I think they're awesome. Kind of hoping that people will see Glow and want to turn into WWE, and they figured, like, let's give them something amazing. And it was a great, like, ladder match, a women's ladder match, which is, oh, my God, please be careful, girls. Like, you can fall from so high when there's a ladder involved. You can fall from way higher than the top rope. So it was nerve-wracking. I get nervous when I think they're going to get hurt.
Yeah, like, for real get hurt. Yeah. Not, like,
please,
for...
Like, never get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, I think WWE wants Glow to have a big impact, and I think it probably has. More people want to talk to me about wrestling lately, and Glow might not be the thing that I'm an expert about, but if it gets me to be able to talk about wrestling and talk about how it's a welcoming community to women and can be, and you can like whatever you want to like in private, I mean, you guys know how that is, probably reading comics as a kid and having no one to relate to, and probably didn't have many
being
female
that
friends,
nerd
like in a group of guys, you were like the chick in the group.
It still kind of happens,
yeah,
honestly.
It's still a little bit true.
Well, and it's because we just grow up in a culture where we think if you have enough interest, that's like, there's something inherently masculine about that, which is, you know, kind of going away, but does lead you to be the only chick in a dude group, which, you know, might happen for wrestling, but maybe not for long. Maybe we can welcome more women and it'll just be more of a mixed thing instead of every woman who likes wrestling feeling like they're the chick in the dude group.
Yeah.
If any chicks want to talk about wrestling, you can talk to me about it.
That's good.
I'm very kind to beginners.
It's a safe space.
I won't call you out on accidentally naming a monster truck.
Yeah.
Very kind.
It's all good.
I'm feeling bad about it.
Don't feel bad.
Well,
I was like
correction on Twitter or something for somebody to be like, actually that's a truck.
I would be fine with that because somebody would be talking to me, but like but no, I knew there was like something about like he was like a mortician, but like I couldn't remember like
Undertaker was killer. Undertaker is killer.
And he just retired recently, right?
He had his last match.
I knew something.
Oh yeah, he had done 20 something WrestleMania matches in a row and won most of them.
That's impressive that you could do that for
so long. He's a really big guy, right?
Huge,
scary, and he has
so
that long hair.
His knees have to be shit.
Was he the one who came in from the ceiling? I feel like I remember, like, somebody who came, I don't know. I only watched, like, one.
Boxing.
No, it was, like, he had, like, the crazy makeup, and I remember he was, like, being lowered down from.
Sting. That was the white face, like, the guy
with
the crown.
That's who you're thinking of, the crow.
I don't know why
I
thought he was the Undertaker.
The Undertaker was that really
I was, like,
10.
What do I know?
Yeah. He had, like, a coffin and the big hat.
Yeah.
That was during the era where my brother was into wrestling. Well, I guess the second time or whatever. Like, because he's been on TV for ever, like such a long time.
And if you think about it, I mean, he's been playing this character all his life. If you think about like a soap opera, how people will come back like 10 years later, it's just like that.
He's the Susan Lucci of wrestling.
Yeah, honestly, he'll go into a coma and come back 9 years later.
Oh, geez.
It's so good. I love it. It's one huge arc that Hulk Hogan will never be in again.
Is he done?
WWE has erased everything he's ever done from the website. If there's a Hogan match online, then they only list the other guy in the match. They still
really
the match there. Yeah.
So they have like a
kibosh. Did I miss something? What the hell happened to him?
A tape was released and he was like, super racist on it.
Oh, he had a PR disaster.
Oh,
short story.
See,
yeah, that's why there's no Gawker anymore.
Oh,
because he sued about that tape.
I did not know. Yeah. Okay, did not know that.
Oh, I caught that from the like, oh my gosh, racist news perspective, not from the like, oh my gosh, wrestling news perspective.
Yeah. And I know how you feel about Mel Gibson, so now you can feel that way about Hulk Hogan.
It was a Mel Gibson moment.
Okay.
That's actually a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just carry it over.
I see.
Pretty much the same thing.
Interesting.
I was a Hulkamaniac, man.
Were you really?
Took my vitamins and my prayers.
Took my vitamins.
Well, let's actually talk about that, like about the role model aspect of it, because it is a sport, it's professional athletes, so they have, at least the heroes have that kind of of, hey kids, we are going to do responsible things, like that almost like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah. Say no nope to dope.
Yeah. John Cena has granted like however many make-a-wishes and really? Gone to however many like overseas USO shows. Leading one. So, yeah, they're like good people.
How do you feel about that from like a women?
Oh, Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, from like a fall from grace perspective.
You know, one thing that I wish would happen with wrestling was that we could keep the characters in the show and have those be the role models and keep people's personal lives out of it.
Mm.
One, because I would rather respect the athletes and let them live a private life. Like, that's kind of my shit. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to know about their personal life. And I'm not saying, oh, ignorance mm-hmm. is bliss. I would rather not know Hulk Hogan is a racist, but it's like, maybe.
Like, maybe I would rather not know.
I'm conflicted.
I get it.
I'm conflicted because when you look up to someone for so long, he was racist when he did that. It's a Bill mm-hmm. Cosby thing. It's like, well, he was mm-hmm. raping women when he did what I would admire him for. So, you know, my life got flipped, turned upside down. I didn't ever really look up to Hulk Hogan as a role model, just because of gender thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. There was always that separation for me as a kid. I was out picking my favorite Disney princess. I didn't like any book that didn't have a female character because I couldn't relate. I was just like a very close-minded kid. Mm-hmm. I was just looking for representation. I didn't find that in Hulk Hogan. So, luckily, I don't have to be too upset about that. Yeah. I'll just never handle him again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Andre the Giant, great guy. You know, there are some guys that are just mm-hmm. great guys. You know him from Princess Bride, just a great guy.
Yeah.
He'd drink you under the table probably because he was like dense as a brick.
Because he was humongous, yeah.
Did you read As You Wish?
No.
By Cary Elwes. He talks a lot about Andre the Giant and how he was like, I knew him from wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw him on TV this one time, and then they talk about, yeah, he could like drink like a barrel and like be like, so I guess I'm going to just drive home now. Like he was just totally fine and just gigantic.
Good, graphic novel by Box Brown about Andre the Giant. It's mm-hmm. like, it kind of goes into the softer, more, it's really beautifully done. There's a lot of artsy wrestling stuff out now. I'll say it's a good time to be a wrestling fan.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because with the internet, you can find people that like it the same way you do. Mm-hmm. I found, like, I don't think anyone from my high school knows I liked wrestling. Mm. Because when I start to tell people I like wrestling, it's like, oh, do you like The Rock? It's like, I don't like this the same way you do, and I don't want you to gatekeep me, so I'm just going to stop talking.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that anymore with the internet. And you can, the way you can talk in kind of like a genderless way online mm-hmm. is comforting too. You can, I can have my wrestling opinions and post it to Reddit and get karma and not have people tell me I'm a woman, which is great. Pretty good. It is easier to talk about wrestling and to find your niche too, because there's so much wrestling out there. I watch so much wrestling and I'm not watching it all. There's no way I'm watching it all. Even when you just watch the cream of the crop, it's too damn much. So you have to find the thing that you like about it. If the thing you like about it is like people flipping each other around, then there's a spot for that. But if what you like is the story, or if what you like is the blood, then there's a place for that. And me, I can't handle the blood. Guys in the 90s used to hide a razor blade in their wristband and
Ooh.
Blade their hairline so that...
So it was real.
Yeah, so that it was real blood. Ooh. The 90s were covered in blood. That's why I didn't like that shit. I don't like
Gosh.
Blood. Wow, I didn't know
I
that.
I don't think realized that that was...
They really, really wanted it to look real.
Hmm.
And I mean, when Undertaker dropped Mick Foley onto all those thumbtacks.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And that he really got hurt.
His lip.
Yeah.
It was real.
He really got hurt.
Or it was like through his nostril, like his tooth had come out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you see it in count.
I remember that. And that was deeply disturbing.
In that Glow documentary when they show how she popped her arm out.
I was like, I'm going to faint.
I'm going to faint. Like, oh my God.
It was cringeworthy.
It's so real. Yeah.
She was like, I picked up my tendon and I just like was holding it in my hand. I was like, what?
I don't believe the physics in that. I don't believe
it. I didn't understand because possible? Like I don't understand how that happened, because like she talked about how it was because the girl fell back and her arm bent weird. How did her tendon come out of her arm? Because I only looked at the screen for like a half a second, because I was like,
I left the room, Jill. I shit you not. I say I watch a lot of wrestling. Half of it I watch through my hands. If they get to the second to the top rung of a ladder, I'm like, some shit's going down. I will look away. I will leave the room. I don't want my boys to get hurt.
Yeah, dude. I do. But I was like, how did her tendon come out of her arm?
Yeah, no.
Something was not right, because like her arm was still
Enclosed.
Yeah. So I was like, wait, I don't think you picked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't there. I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't my arm, but yeah. Like.
Three things that I think about that. Yeah. One, I'm pretty sure she might have been like remembering incorrectly because she was probably in shock.
Yeah. A lot of pain.
Because that. Yeah. That had to friggin' hurt. Two, she did say that there was a bone sticking out of her arm. So it could have come out through that.
Maybe I just didn't see it in that shot. Because I was like, oh, yeah. I feel faint. Yeah.
And three, when we were watching the documentary, Finn, my husband, was like, I hope they do that on the show in like season 3. He was like, I want to see, like, because now he knows that these girls got like really hurt. And he was like, I kind of hope they incorporate that into the show because that's,
I think they will,
part of the experience. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. Yeah. But are we going to see like an end of someone's career like on the show due to injury? And I was just like, man. That's some heavy narrative.
When the actresses gets pregnant, they'll just...
Yeah, they'll just write her off. Yeah. But that is some heavy narrative to have, like, all of that. It's got everything that, like, an Olympic athlete documentary has, plus, like, everything that your soap opera documentary would have. And that's pretty crazy to think about that combination. It's very unique. Yeah. What do we think about... So, speaking about women and wrestling and the show, what do we feel about the pregnancy storyline? And that whole resolution of that. How do we feel about that?
Pretty wild. I guess I wasn't paying too much attention to that part of the storyline. I didn't really know she was pregnant. Did we find out that same episode? Or had it been leading up?
I think it was the episode before where she took that crazy pregnancy test.
Okay, that felt like a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that like chemistry lab she had to set up in the bathroom.
Finn was like, what is she doing? And I said, oh, honey, that's how you used to take a pregnancy test. I was like, he didn't even know. Because, you know,
you have to be a scientist to know if you're pregnant.
He was like, oh, no. Like, he didn't even realize that that's what it was because we come from the generation of, like, pee on a stick.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So that to have it be so era accurate and, like, so jarring in that other way where you're like, man, that was a long friggin' time ago.
I guess, honestly, that's why I didn't get that she was pregnant. I was probably also doing laundry. I say this, my boyfriend's gonna listen to this podcast and be like, you haven't done laundry. I was doing something else. But I must have been watching something else because I'm sure I saw her doing that and was just like, I guess I'll know what that is later. I don't know what this is.
Like, is she taking a drug test? Like, what's happening?
And then she's, like, cleaning the bathroom, like, waiting. So,
It took a long time.
So long.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, like, an hour and a half or something?
Oh, my God.
It was quite the commitment. Like, you had to make a commitment to find out without going to your doctor.
Well, I mean, she made the right choice for her. We know it because it's written that way, that she made the right choice for her. But I don't feel like she made it, like it was a crazy scene. For me, it was such an obvious resolution to it. I don't know what that says about my character.
Well,
just seemed obvious. She can't have that baby.
Yeah.
It's Debbie's husband's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost her only job, a baby she didn't ask for, with a person that isn't,
I think it'll come back later in season 2, and I think that Debbie will find out, and maybe that'll either be the thing that makes their friendship correct again, or it'll be like, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
Double heel turn.
So,
I'm
sure it'll come back later, but I agree that, like, that to me was like, well, you don't really have a choice, first of all. And
I loved how the decision was so immediate.
Yeah.
Like she was, it kind of throws.
It just wasn't even like a thing.
Yeah.
She was just like, okay, well, I got to go do that.
Yeah. She was like, this is my, like, immediately resolved. This is what I am doing. And that felt so genuine to me and, like, so real. I feel like a lot of times that whole, like, hemming and hawing, like, oh, but it's a baby and, like, I have to do the right thing. And, like, none of that drama was present.
Yeah.
And I felt
it's such a different situation.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, is it the right time for my husband and I? Like, this was not that.
No, it was so real to the circumstance under which she was in at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, she was just like, that's the obvious decision. And I actually was like, you go, Junji Hohan.
Yeah.
That was really nicely done, like nicely handled.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that no other character even had the opportunity to question her about it.
Yeah. She didn't ask for anyone's support.
No.
Like,
right.
She just had to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Sam showed up and was just there.
Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was just there. It was like, he didn't for a second. I think you just said one time, like, mm-hmm. is that the decision yep. you want?
Is that yeah. what you want to do?
I guess I have to ask. Yeah.
But then he was so supportive when it was like, oh, yeah, my wife and I really hate kids. Like, yeah. you do not want us having a child. Like, he yeah. stuck up for her in that way
and
where.
And defuse the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, not in a judgy way and not in a, like, preachy way and not even in a romantic, like, hey, this will get me in the door yeah. kind of way. It was just like a, this is what you need from me right now. This is the way that I can support you.
Take it in front of the airport.
Yeah, that was what it was like.
Yep. He was like, well, here I am. Do you yeah. want to go, like, get some burgers afterward? Do you yeah. want a drink? Like, what do you need from me?
It's something I haven't seen depicted in fiction too often. Mm-hmm. And I think one out of three women over 30 has had an abortion. So considering it's that commonplace and such a huge turning point mm-hmm. of your life when it happens, I guess, it's like, of course it's an obvious plot. It's a plot point that's ripe for picking, I mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and to contrast it with Debbie and her sort of, like, yeah. journey of motherhood, yeah. where she almost seems to, like, hate her kid because it kind of ruined.
There's so many ways to be a mother, and we only ever see one or two portrayed, mm-hmm. so this was refreshing.
Yeah, sure.
I agree, because it always is like, motherhood is such a blessing, and yeah. that
you
it's like.
You love it immediately.
Yeah, and you don't yeah. mind that you gave up your career and yeah. traveling and all of these mm-hmm. things, and it was kind of, I've only seen it portrayed, like, one or two other times yeah. like that, where the mom is like. What did
I'm tired.
I do?
Yeah, yeah, like, I hate my life. My boob is bleeding.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Well, cement me up. Oh, no. Spackle me.
And I mean, if kids are your thing, cool. But, like, yeah. I know they're not my thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would be what I would be like as a
dogs,
mom.
Though.
Yeah. No, I love cats, yeah. dogs,
yeah.
birds.
You
I don't care.
The fur like, baby, the fur and feather sex. Child.
Yeah.
They don't go shoot up a community or something.
Well,
I'm afraid of having a bad kid.
That's the thing. Well, but, and I think I would be that, not bad mom necessarily, but the mom who's just like, I gave up everything.
And like, what did I do? Like, how is my life going to change? Which I feel like is a question Debbie didn't necessarily ask herself.
She was trying to save the marriage.
Yeah, she was like, this is what we're going to do now, and this is going to fix everything. And it was the Band-Aid that hurts her.
Yeah.
Which is so tragic to see. And yet you contrast that. That's what I loved about the show. You contrast her personal life where, like, her marriage is falling apart. Her career was pretty much over. She has to reinvent herself and refind her voice mm-hmm. after all of these things that happened to her. But her character is like this American heroine
yeah.
that's like
just
so
flawless.
Strong and yeah. like beautiful and like liberty. And yeah. that was so interesting to watch the contrast between her character, her mm-hmm. her persona in the ring and her life. Falling apart mm-hmm. at the same time.
And that's interesting to see real people having to play a gimmick and to see how much of their lives or other people's lives they put mm-hmm. into the gimmick and how much sincerity is there. Sometimes people will take, you know, really tragic things and make a gimmick out of it. When there was a lot of, like, police brutality against Black people, it was a few years ago right when Black Lives Matter kind mm-hmm. of was hitting its peak, which... I'm not going to say it's peak, like, it's climax. It was great. It's
right.
a movement that shouldn't have to happen.
Yeah. But when it was, like, the thing that yeah, everybody was talking about.
The height of the news.
Yeah. It's fucking worse.
Yeah.
Like, a few years ago. Not that it's getting better. there was this gimmick on WWE where it was, like, Black scholars. They were doing, like, kind of a Malcolm X gimmick.
Wow.
Saying, like, this is our time, and we're going to take it back. But then people responded really poorly to it, and now they wear unicorn horns. And that's
wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were called the New Day, and they were like, it's a new day. Like, this is us. We're going to be Black superstars. There hasn't been, like, a Black champion. There's been one Black champion in the past however long. And, yeah, people just responded so poorly to it. Hated it. Hated to
really?
See that kind of power and that kind of character and have them be babyface. I think they came out as heels even, and people still didn't respond well to it.
Wow. So it was just not, it was like a mm-hmm. line.
Yeah, I guess they crossed the line.
The audience.
Powerful Black men.
Wow. For good or for, like, hate us, we're
yeah.
powerful Black men,
they
or
just,
like, love us. It just didn't work.
Now everyone loves them. They do some gimmick where they, like, dance around and have a cereal called Bootios and wear bright colors and unicorn horns.
So they got put back in their, like, more comfortable social place.
Yeah.
And that made it okay again.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
yeah, they come out dancing and all of that. Everyone loves it.
But now they're not being serious anymore.
Yeah. And the guy still, he was Xavier Woods. He's the head of that faction. And he was going to college. He got, like, his master's while he was a WWE superstar.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. And they tour the country. They're in a different city every week.
Hmm.
Wild. And he's still training. So he can fucking suplex people and getting masters.
Damn.
But yet he can't say that he's a smart black man, even as a caricature, it still wasn't okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That, I feel like it tells you something about the country that we live in and like our social environment.
Yeah, the gimmicks that fail, it does tell me a lot. Right now there's a Canadian superstar that won the American belt, and his gimmick is like, you needed a man from Canada to take this because America's failing so badly.
Wow.
And I'm like, his gimmick is so good.
And is he a villain?
Yeah. Okay. He totally comes out and he's a villain. He's like, a Canadian has the American belt.
So it's the Russian over again, but now it's Canada with their crazy socialized medicine and their clean streets and low crime rates.
Yeah. Those crazy Canadians.
Those crazy Canadians. Well, I was just watching the news the other day, actually, and I don't know if you've heard about this. It's like Kentucky independent amateur wrestling. They have a thing going on right now, and I was just like, okay, I didn't know that we could do this. They're doing a lot with race right now and a lot of that kind of thing. And have you seen a lot of like the sort of like Muslim kind of thing? I don't know if that's more of an amateur wrestling thing now.
Yeah, I think they're pretty afraid to do that on TV.
Like,
I mean, I don't,
Beirut.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Beirut was on the show, you know, that kind of death to America sort of thing.
Yeah, and her name on the real show was Palestina.
That's also really bad.
Yeah.
That was the other one where I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And she was Indian, and she's like, I'm not even, like.
You were like, you're brown, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Play like a ninja.
Yeah, fortune cookie.
Yeah, fortune cookie, that was it.
And she's like, I'm not even.
Yeah, like, I don't even have an accent. They're like, could you, though? Could
you? Wrestling's totally that way. Where they're just like, here, you look this, you're playing, you know, the badass Bulgarian guy now or whatever. It's like, okay, sure, whatever you need. I'm that race now.
And then they can, like, transition you later into something else. Like, suddenly you're not Bulgarian anymore. Oh, we wrote this whole new backstory.
They do that all the time.
That's crazy. Just like a soap opera where you're the same character and you're obviously the same person.
Yeah.
But they just rewrite your whole backstory and now you're something totally different.
Yeah. Or they'll do, like, a Cold War-based storyline. And then when the Cold War was over, or, like, you know, you can't settle that feud because, like, the Cold War is still going.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, their feud is kind of settled now. It's like, whoever won that, like, has to win the real life one so you don't look dumb.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I never really thought about it that deeply before. Like,
wrestling gets intense. It's a reflection.
Yeah, like real truth. I was kind of like, I made me want to go and like find psychology books, which I'm sure there are.
You know, I think you girls would really like Hood Slam. They're a Bay Area wrestling promotion.
Mm-hmm.
They are wild. Sometimes they come to Reno. It's like $10 a show. I think it would be great if we went. Their main character is called Drugs Bunny.
He comes out
with like bunny ears and buck teeth, and he's throwing flour everywhere, snorting it off the ring.
Drugs
Bunny. How funny.
He's so good.
And he's like the main
girl in it, and they do co-ed wrestling where she fights the guys.
Huh.
Yeah.
Girls weekend.
So you're telling us we have to do this.
In the Bay Area, like, go watch Hood Slam. It's such a good promotion.
I'm a little scared. What do I wear?
You know what? Everyone's
Can we tease
you.
This shit out of our hair?
Yeah. Everyone's judging you. Make sure you're wearing exactly the right thing.
Oh, man.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm going to need tutoring before we go. But I'm down. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm down.
Yeah. Chanting is amazing. And a small show like that, I love where you can just like stand up against the ring and like beat on it when a guy won't get up. You just yell at him.
So there's no like, you can't cross this line.
No,
this is where you're not
right
allowed to be.
There.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
fun. I think you guys would really love an indie show. It's such a good vibe, and it's so safe and so fun. And
am I going to get bled on?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, there was a match that there was some blading going on.
Ooh.
They do some blading in Hood Slam, which is not my jam, but I'll just bring, you know, Neosporin.
Here you go.
Guys,
goodness. Well, we're almost out of time for this week. Final thoughts. What are we hoping for GLOW season 2? Like, what is your one thing that you really want them to do?
I want more promos. I want more, like, of the show and show.
Yeah.
So you want more rapping?
Yes. So
short story.
From the documentary when they were showing, like, the campy part of the show where they're, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
You?
I want to see the girls become athletes. Yeah. That's what I'm most excited to see.
And they're all coming from, you know, pretty much zero almost. Yeah. Except for, like, Machu Picchu wrestled. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's nice to see girls of all different shapes and sizes kind of find their own body and how to operate within it and own their body again. Mm-hmm. It's, like, empowering.
Especially, like, the mom or, like, the girl that was picked on or the little skinny girl. Like, that, them finding their sort of, like, center of power while training and while getting their asses kicked.
Yeah.
I enjoy that there was such a wide range of body shapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And we saw, like, people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We saw people trying to, like, make it in all different ways. You had, like, the female stunt woman, Cherry.
Oh, Cherry was killer.
She was awesome.
So hot.
I loved her and her story with her husband and her past with the director.
They're so cute.
And, like, I know. I just.
What did they call it? A whoopsie baby? Was that it?
I think it was.
I think it was something like that. But, like, that's what I really want to see. I want to watch them come into their own as, like, professionals. Because by the end, they were legit professionals.
Yeah.
So I really want to watch that and see how that affects their real life.
Yeah.
Like, going to the gym every day versus, like, eating pizza every day. And, like, you can do both. But, like, how do you strike that balance when you're a professional athlete?
Yeah. And have the 11:30 curfew, maybe seeing more of that, like, day-to-day. Mm-hmm. Being in such a, like, bustling area and being in the prime of your life and not being able to really do anything with that. Maybe we could watch Melrose kind of suffer with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like that was her, her life struggle. But I'd be interested to see that. I think that's a cool place for them to go.
Yeah.
I like where they're going so far. So how would we all rate season one out of, like, five? I don't know. You pick what we should rate. Five what? What's a good wrestling thing to say?
Like, wrestling matches always use stars, so I was like, do stars.
Okay, let's do stars. Okay.
Okay.
So how many stars would you give GLOW season one? Be honest. It's okay.
I'm going to give it 4 stars. I couldn't stop watching it, but it's a flawed piece. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it 4 stars.
That's fair.
Room to grow.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
4 stars. Yeah.
I think I also agree. I would say, like, 4 stars. I really liked it. I am excited where it's going, which is all good. I enjoyed it all the way through, you know, from, like, the first episode. I was like, okay, I'm in.
And it's a slow burn. They're giving themselves a lot of time to tell this story and develop the characters. You know, it's not just like, oh, here was 4 years of GLOW in that season. So I'm glad they're taking their time. I want to milk this thing.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a very Netflix thing. Like, all the Netflix originals, that first season tends to be the build-up. Yeah, like, the development, the discovery, and then the launch in, like, every season subsequent. So it was interesting that it followed that same formula. We saw it with Daredevil. We saw it with, like, Jessica Jones.
Stranger
Orange
Things.
Black, Stranger Things. Like, they do that a lot. It seems to be their spiel. So I liked that it kind of continued that.
God bless Netflix.
they put out the best shit.
They really do.
Probably I'll listen to this in 10 years and be like, wow, Netflix is a horrifying monopoly now. Like, a way to say that, but God bless Netflix.
Now they're in a good place.
Yeah.
Let's hope they keep that good place
going.
They're
not Amazon yet.
No, they're not Disney. That's what I think of as, like, the height of just.
They've got Marvel, they've got Star Wars. Disney swallowed it all, man. Mm-hmm. They Kirby'd it.
I have a question.
Yes.
If you yourself were going to be a wrestler.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not going to ask you, like, I mean, if you have a persona in mind, but would you rather be the heel or the hero?
Ooh, good question, Annie.
I think for me, I'd rather play heel. I would probably really be really insecure wrestling in front of people. Mm-hmm. So if I'm making them boo me, then I'm on the spot, you know, like, do something ridiculous or offensive. Just go in there and flip them off and spit on them and then wrestle your best.
Mm.
And you're going to get booed. And you'd be like, I did a badass job. I got booed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to play a heel at first.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Totally fair. Jill, what would you?
I would be the heel.
Yeah.
I don't think I would spit on people necessarily, but
I would. They'd spit.
I like the ones where they're like, crazy, like, I just
like
think
dementia, like,
yeah, I love like that stuff.
That's who you want to be.
I think that would be fun
in the straight jacket and like
contacts. Yeah,
I would be the weirdo. Yeah. That's
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
What about you, Francine?
I think I'm also gonna go heel, but like anti-hero heel. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's who I would want to be.
Like Rorschach, looking down from the top rope, they need me. Like, doesn't come in green bottles anymore.
Like, you hate, like, everyone's supposed to hate you, which means you get the best lines, you get the best storylines, you get to do the most ridiculous things because there's no morality clause to you, which I love.
And you can separate yourself from it easier. You like, I'm not that person, that's obvious.
Oh, I would so embrace it.
John Cena's like, oh, I'm kind of that guy. Like, I'm kind of that guy. I'm kind of good.
I feel like you're both so nice that I'm just like imagining you as like the heel people in it. I can't.
Oh, I feel like
put some contacts in or something.
Something.
I would so Stephen Colbert it up, like live the brand. Like that would be me. I'd be like, this is who I am all the time. Yeah. I method like that.
I really will kill their mothers.
I really will. Like,
stab your puppy.
I already have.
Here's their addresses. Yeah.
But, like, I would want to be an anti-hero where, like, you do good things, but it's for, like, the most messed up, wrong
reason. Stone Cold was a good reason. He was against the establishment, but everyone rooted for him. He was, like, he was good.
I guess that's my jam, then.
There you
go. I would want to be the Dexter of, like, doing good things, but, like, for the worst reason.
Yeah.
And, like, the outcome is good, but everyone's like, I guess. But, like, everyone's like, oh, but your still's just so wrong. Like, that's who I would want to be.
Your heart's in the wrong place.
But you're still doing good stuff. But, like, man, you are really messed up.
Yeah.
Like, that's who I would want to be. And also, she's a scholar.
She's the smartest girl in the world.
It's true.
It's like Britannica.
But, like, everybody hates her.
Yeah. I love
the know-it-all.
Kate Nash was amazing as Britannica. She was hilarious.
And was she based on Godiva? Because I feel like...
No, I think there was, like, a smarty pants character in Glow.
Was there? Because she had the story about the horse.
Oh,
and then they
true.
Did that on the in the documentary with Godiva where she got a horse.
Well, there, a and the accent. The girls were, like,
and the accent,
of,
yeah.
A lot of them. But, nope, cut that. I
don't know
my thought.
It's okay. I liked seeing all that little references, like, peppered through the story. So I feel like if you were a fan of Glow, like, when it was on, if you were a super fan, you probably either really loved or really hated the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be very polarizing for those people.
I bet everyone loved it. Because if you love the camp of Glow, then you loved this.
That's a good point.
One last thing to watch, if everyone's watched the documentary and you still want more, and that's why you're listening to this podcast... Then I recommend the Geraldo episode.
What?
That is on YouTube where, and there's some pretty good, like, Glow interviews. And you learn a lot about the girls. Hearing it, like, straight from them as it's happening is kind of neat. And it's some of the only Glow footage out there. So.
Really?
Just dig YouTube.
So the rest of it is, like, in a vault somewhere.
You know, I bet whatever company, like,
it's on a VHS.
After all this buzz and, like, the Netflix show and stuff, I think they're combing their archives just like, let's put out a remaster. You
know, do we still have those VHSs? Yeah.
I know. And,
let's turn it into a DVD.
My son took them.
Taped over with his soccer game.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'll be interesting to see. That's a good point, actually. Like,
yeah, I
what...
hope more Glow footage comes out.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe
especially.
Some fans recorded it and they're like, oh, there's an interest. So they come out and put them on YouTube or something.
That would be cool. I think I would actually watch that.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Oh,
yeah. Why not?
Just to see more
see
of
it. Context.
Yeah.
I want to see an episode from beginning to end and be like, I understand what they're making. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Annie.
Thank you girls for having me. Yeah, if you ever want to talk about Twin Peaks, I'm also nerdy about that. if you ever want to talk about it, I understand everything that's going on.
Oh, wow.
In Twin Peaks.
That's crazy.
Wow. It's insane. I don't. It's the joke. But it's good. I'm obsessed with it.
That's fair.
Keep if we, that in mind.
Yeah. I haven't really watched it, so I'd have to go educate myself. You're my expert for so many things right now. So if people want to find you online and talk to you about wrestling in Twin Peaks, where do they find you?
I'm Animated on Twitter, but also Smart Marshes. That's where I talk about wrestling. We spell Marshes, M-A-R-C-I-A-S. Smartmarshes.wordpress.com. It's like a female-centered kind of wrestling blog. It has some good articles, like Craigslist missed connections after wrestling shows. I compiled a bunch of those. They're entertaining.
That's awesome.
I'll link to that.
Oh, yeah. And, like, there's an article where I take wrestling terms and tell you how to use them in your long-term relationship.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I love this.
So smartmarshes.wordpress.com is pretty good. I don't update it too often because I don't think anyone's reading it. But it's just a little pet thing I do because I like wrestling. And I'm at Animated everywhere else.
Cool. Cool. Well, we'll give you the Ladies of Nerditude bump.
Nice.
So that,
thank you.
As if we have a bump, but like,
I gotta write some more articles now.
Yes.
That might have to be the episode title,
yeah,
too.
I think, yeah.
That was
I think
good.
You just nailed it.
So what are we talking about next week, Jill?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Intense.
I believe you're right, yes. Because I read the book. I haven't started the show yet. I mean, well, I did. I watched like 5 minutes of it. Ooh, and then I was like, I was like, I should read the book first. And then I stopped and I went back and read the book. Mm.
Very jail move.
Yeah, right?
I would not do that. But yeah. I'm in. I nope. Saved myself a book.
No, I got to read the book. So yeah. I read the book. That I enjoyed it. It was very intense.
It's intense.
But important material. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to watch it throughout the week. You already started it, right?
I started it. I'm in the midst. And whew, the show is as intense, if not more, than the book.
Oh, if that okay. gives you I'll a, brace yeah. myself.
Brace yourselves,
watch
guys.
It through your fingers.
But they got 13 Emmy nominations.
Yeah. It's a great show so far.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Handmaid's Tale. If yes, you ma'am. Have any thoughts, feelings, that sort of thing that you want to share with us, please tweet us, Ladies Nerditude, or send us an email if you have like so many thoughts you can't put them in a tweet, ladiesofnerditude@gmail.com.
Cool. So. Until then.